There's a woman. She's walking. She's carrying her water containers. It's noon. In the heat of the day, the road is dusty. She's alone. The rest of the women in the village come in the cool of the morning and the evening to get water. But she's not welcome to be with them. So every day, she comes by herself, always alone, always on this road by herself, in the dust and the heat. 1 foot in front of the other. And so it is on this day. But then something startling happens. A man is also walking through the heat. He and his disciples have been traveling. They've been going throughout the country, teaching and preaching and healing. He's begun to run into some trouble. There was this bit of messiness at the temple where he overturned the tables of the money changers and set all the sacrificial animals free. Things are beginning to shift in his ministry, and he's getting concerned and maybe a little fearful. And he wants to go home, so he sets out for Galilee, but instead of going around Samaria like people with good sense, Jews with good sense, did, he went straight up north through the middle. I guess he wanted to get home fast. So they come to Jacob's well, and the disciples leave him there when they go off to get something to eat and to bring it back. And he's sitting there in the heat with the shade of two pitiful little trees. He's thirsty, but he has no way to get the water. And then a startling thing happens. A woman comes trudging up the path toward him. She comes to the well and begins to draw water. And he says, "Give me a drink." And she says, "Why should I give you a drink? Why are you, a Jew, asking me for a drink of water?" And he sidesteps the question and he says, "If you know who it is who's asking you for a drink, you would instead ask me for a drink of the living water. Because the water you draw from this well is only good for a little bit. People who drink from this well will be thirsty again. But people who drink from the living water that I give will never thirst again." And the woman is absolutely clueless about what he's talking about. But she knows that she never wants to come up that hill again. So she says, "Give me that water. I'm ready. Give me that water." And then it happens. He says, "Go get your husband and come back." And we can imagine what might have been going through her head then. And she offers him part of her truth. She says, "I have no husband." And he gives her the other half of her truth. He says, "That's true. You have no husband. There have been five husbands, and the one that you're with right now is not your husband." And he names the shame that has kept her out of the company of the other women. But he does it without condemnation He just tells the truth. He says what is. And she's struck by this. And she says, "You must be a prophet. I know that Messiah is coming." And she offers him part of his truth. And he claims it and says, "I am he." And this is the first time in the Gospel of John that we hear him claim his sonship, claim to be the Christ. And they meet in this moment, the two of them. They each know the other's truth. They have shared deeply. And then here come the disciples. And the moment is over. They're back to the physicality. They want to know what's happening. They're confused. Once again, Jesus has confused them. He's always doing that because he's always doing something they don't expect him to do. And this time they don't even bother to ask. They don't even bother to ask, "What is she doing here? What are you doing talking to her?" They just divert. They're ignoring it. They're in denial. They're not even going to go there. They just start talking about food because that's what they went to get. And they brought it back. So now they're determined that he's going to eat. And he says, "I have food. I have eaten." And again, they are just clueless. They have no idea what he's talking about. But the woman has put down her jar and has run back to the village, back down this hill, over the fields, and told everybody to come to see the one who has told her everything in her life, the person who has shared truth with her. And they come. Because there's a real power when we have met the other. We can speak of that in a way that leads other people to that experience. Now, the woman and the man had choices that day. When she saw him, she had a lot of choices. She could have turned around and just gone back because if anybody saw them together, she'd be even in more trouble than she's already in. She could have just come there and ignored him, gotten the water, and gone back home. And he had choices. He could have chosen to ignore her. He could have turned his back on her. He could have told her to go away. Instead, he engaged her. He asked her to help him. The two of them dared. They dared to speak. They dared to share truth. They dared to look at each other's faces and into each other's eyes. She looked into his face and she saw not only the face of God, but she saw her own true face, the face of the one that God loves. And he looked into her face and saw the faces of all the people he was sent to serve. In that moment of daring, in that moment of engagement, of encounter, of sharing, they each saw in a different, deeper way. They each moved out of the dailiness of life into the hope that we all hold. That took a lot of courage for both of them. It takes a lot of courage to step out of the safe place, the status quo. The easiest thing to do when we meet the unexpected is just to hang on to what we know, to hold still, and hope everything goes okay and we'll be safe. The reasonable thing to do is sometimes is just to hold still and do nothing. They were not reasonable. They dared. They dared to break down the wall of tribal belief that stood between them. They dared to risk encounter. They dared to dive deep into that living water together. And that's what we're called to do. When those moments come, and we all know that those moments do come, they do come and they get us. We're called not to hang on to what we know, but to risk going to a place where we've never been before. We're called to risk going into the face of the other, to see the Christ in the face of someone we've been afraid of or angry with, or just see as someone other that we don't need to even come close to. When we do that, when we break through that wall that separates us, when we break through the fear that holds us back, then we can reach out and our hands be filled with the living water that the living Christ brings to us. We can be filled with God's grace. We can be filled with the abundance that Jesus came to share with us. And in those scary moments, we can do what we're called to do, because God's grace is with us, supporting us and holding us and giving us that extra little push that lets us step that other inch past. Because God's grace is always with us. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God.